Is it me? Good morning, Grace Point Church. And you showed me grace when I came up early, right, and had to sit back down. It's good to see you here today. So I want to start this morning by just helping us to remember. This Wednesday will have been 23 years when America was attacked by Al-Qaeda. They flew into the Twin Towers in New York. They hit the Pentagon, and then, of course, one of those jets went down in a field in Pennsylvania. Right at around 6,000 Americans were killed that day. Estimates of between 10 and 20,000 were injured. And I think of the effect that had on many people days, months, years, and decades afterwards, those families who survived, those who were killed, and how difficult that still is every 360 days for them. So, I don't ever want us to forget, and as we remember, just not only to think about it in our heads, but to remember it in our hearts. And I think one of the best things that we can do about that is to pray for those who were affected. So would you pray with me, please? God, I hope and I pray that for many things, not only would we never forget, but we would always remember. We think about this, the attack that happened on our ground to innocent victims. And we pray, God, to you and ask for your continued intervention for those who were left behind. Grandparents, the moms and dads, the brothers and sisters, the husbands and wives, the children, the grandchildren who've had to go on with life. Some, I'm sure, Father, have gone on well. Others, I'm sure, God, and you know, still struggle today. And so we lift them up to you. And we ask you, Father, to continue. Give them strength to reveal yourself to them as a source of love and grace, to help them, Lord, day by day. And we pray, Lord, because you're the one who turns death into resurrection. You turn a lack of hope into hope. And pray that you'll continue to work that out in their lives. So bless these families. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to share a verse with you that comes from Matthew chapter 28, actually a couple of verses, verses 19 and 20. Jesus is speaking here, and here's what he says. So you must go to people in every country of the world. Teach them how to become my disciples. Baptize them by the authority of God the Father, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have taught you. You can be sure that I will be with you always. I will be with you until the end of time. God says, we're supposed to go. He sent Jesus, and Jesus sends us. Let's pray together. God, thank you for sending your Son. We know that. We say that phrase so much that sometimes I think it really doesn't hit us the way it needs to. Jesus, we thank you that when God said, go, you went. You came to us, and when you left, you said, hey, before I go, I need you to know that now I'm sending you. And that didn't just mean to your disciples back then. It meant to us now that we are to go. So, Lord, bring those words to us anew and afresh. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Played baseball in high school. My coach was Coach McMullen. Good coach. Weird person. Really was. One of the things I found out that I couldn't really understand is if he needed you to come to him, he would never call your name and say, come here. One example is we were out in the outfield, and I was standing next to Jerry Stanley, and he was hitting some balls out to us. And I guess he didn't like the way I did something, like caught the ball or threw the ball or whatever. And he would yell out. Jerry was right next to me, so we were standing in the same place, and he would say, hey, Stanley. That was another thing. He never called us by our first name. Maybe he didn't know our first names. He said, Stanley, tell Bennett I said to get in here. And I'm like in my head going, coach, I heard you. Stanley, tell Bennett to get in here. So in doing so, he turned Jerry Stanley into a messenger. He gave him the message and tasked him to tell me. Kind of in the same way, that's what God has done with us. God has given us the message of the good news through Jesus Christ. And he said, now that I've given you the good news, I want you to tell other people. I want to share briefly a thought about the fact that we are called to be sent. Look at your outline. Look at these verses from Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. Paul writes, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard of him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is what the scriptures mean when they say, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Paul says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. What did Paul mean by that? He's actually quoting from Isaiah 52, verse 7. What did he mean when he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news? Paul here is describing the feet being beautiful, not because of their physical appearance, but because he saw beauty in what the feet did. Paul used feet as a shorthand for messengers who often traveled on foot to share their meaning of good news with people. Folks, the moment I step across the line to be saved, the moment you stepped across the line to be saved, the moment we let God begin to control and change our lives, at that moment, whenever that was for you, last week, last year, 20, 30, 40 years ago, when you did that, at that moment, he called you to begin sharing that good news with others. Not just with people called into ministry to be preachers, music leaders, education, every believer to share the good news. And if we don't do that, that's just wrong. Can you imagine if you had the cure for cancer? You had the cure for Alzheimer's, or you had the cure for something that people are struggling with and you never told anybody? That would be criminal. Can you imagine that God has given us the answer for people to be forgiven and to be loved and to give life to people, not just here, but eternally, and we never tell anyone? That's spiritually criminal. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:18. Through Christ, God made peace between us and himself. Then God gave us the work of bringing others into peace with him. That's our work. That's your work. We're called to give the message so peace can be given to others. In John 20, 21, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." I think one of the reasons we're told to share the good news of Jesus with others and give them a sense of peace through him is because people need peace. You probably know folks right now, maybe you're one of them, who need a sense of peace because of the things going on in your mind, in your life, in your relationships. We are called to be sent. Now, how does this work? Look at your outline here. Excuse me. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power to testify about me with great effect." People say sometimes, "Pastor, I could never do it. I'm ineffectual. I can't do it. I never do this." But look at this. "With the Holy Spirit in you, you receive power to testify about me with great effect to the people in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth about my death and resurrection." What does that mean? It means this. You can fill this into the blanks. The whole church taking the whole gospel into the whole world. First of all, it talks about Jerusalem. That's where you live, your family, your friends, your co-workers. Then he talked about Judea. That's like-minded people groups, people in your general geographical or cultural vicinity. Then he talks about Samaria. That's non-like-minded people groups, people not in your geographical or cultural vicinity. For some of you, your Samaria is anybody that lives north of the Mason-Dixon line. For you diehard Southerners, that's anybody who lives north of the south of the border line, right? And then he says, to the ends of the earth. That's all people everywhere. I hope you figured out, folks, that God really does love people everywhere. God is not an American. Some people actually think that God's an American and they wrap the American flag around the cross. And listen, folks, I'm as patriotic as any other American. I guarantee you I am. But God did not come just to save Americans. He loves every person he ever created in any part of the earth just as much as he loves you, just as much as he allowed any other country come into existence. And it's up to us to share that love with those people. All right? This past June, we sent Jonathan Sandifer off with our prayers, with some monetary support, on a mission trip to Guatemala. And he was here one Sunday and came down front here, and we were just, most of the whole congregation came down here and laid hands on him and prayed for him. We heard from missionaries Eric and Rebecca McGeorge about this mission trip, and today we are privileged and honored to hear a report. This is what Paul did. Paul would go on mission trips, he'd come back down, and then he would send a report out of how things went. We're going to hear a report from Jonathan, also from Eric and Rebecca McGeorge, about how the mission is going and how it went in Guatemala. So would you please welcome our own Jonathan Sandifer, as well as Eric and Rebecca McGeorge. Where's Jonathan? There he is. Come on up.
With a new team and new faces and new servants just like you. And every single week, I rewatch that video and it brings tears to my eyes. Because these videos is what looks like stories of life change. My name is Rebecca. This is my husband, Eric. We are missionaries serving in San Juan La Laguna, Guatemala, and it truly is a privilege to be back with you since Easter. Pastor Kevin stole my scripture. It wasn't very fair, but I'll get over it. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 10. And I'm just going to quickly read for you the same passage that he read, but I think it's in a little bit different translation here. It says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So even though he stole my scripture, I'm happy for you to hear it again and again and again. Because what Paul continues to share with us, scripture after scripture, is that we are not called to just sit. We are called to get up and go out. How many times do we wait for people to walk into the door so that we can welcome them and greet them and give them coffee and provide them a cushy place to sit in our air conditioning? When the scriptures call us to get up, get out, and go. So let's just briefly recap some of the ways that we do ministry. How do we do ministry? We're partnered with an organization in Guatemala called Impacto Ministry. Now, that's really important to remember because we're Row 12, but we're not Guatemalan. We weren't raised there. We didn't speak the language there until very recently. And we are not affiliated in any way with the Mayan people who live there. And so it's really important for us in our ministry as a sending agency to partner with people who are there. And so Impacto Ministry was born and raised in Guatemala, and we work with them every single day. And so we're going to share with you just a few ways in which we do ministry while we're there.
Right. If you haven't heard of the different ministries that are involved with Impacto and Row 12 Ministries, I'd like to introduce you to them this morning. There's 9 different areas of ministry. One of them is Happy Tummies. It's a program we call Happy Tummies. It's an after-school program. It's fit for the elementary age children. It provides them help with their homework, Bible lessons, vitamins each day. We teach them personal hygiene. We give them time to exercise and to be with the other children as a group. Our other day program is the Abuelitos, which stands for grandparents. It's a morning program. They get to come into the center. They get a nutritious breakfast. They also get the vitamin, Bible stories. They get to fellowship with people their own age in their community. And it's good to keep them moving as the elderly. The other area of ministry would be Stitches of Blessing. Stitches of Blessing is a sewing ministry. It teaches the local women who already know how to weave by hand. They make some of the most beautiful textiles you've ever seen. But it teaches them to use a machine, an actual sewing machine, to make repairs, to make clothing, different items that they can use for their family, and then in the future they can sell to support their family. Other ministries we do are medical clinics. We have teams that come that do medical clinics for the community, for the people in Happy Tummies, the Abuelitos. They get to see a doctor. Sometimes it's we have a dental program that comes. They get a dental checkup. And the children and the Abuelitos in their program, they get to see a doctor once a month. And their family also gets to attend. They can have medical care. And then we have a community pharmacy that costs them nothing. If there's medicine that they need, they have that opportunity. Another ministry I'll quickly tell you about is construction. That's one of my favorite ministries. I love to do the construction. I'm a hands-on person. But we build new churches that we plant, and we maintain the churches that are already in existence.
Along with those areas of ministry, we're also working in daily sports camps in public schools, taking the gospel in where others won't, and pastoral training, which is really close to my heart, and teaching teaching pastors all areas of ministry that they haven't learned yet. Many of these pastors have never been to seminary. And so they are eager and hungry for theological training, for family counseling, for addictions, recovery models, all areas of ministry these pastors are hungry for. And then, of course, community engagement. We spend a lot of time ministering in our community through concerts and sporting events and different things happening in the community that we are celebrating together as locals and as foreigners and as team members serving and giving time together. So that's a basic brief rundown of the ways that we do ministry, how we do ministry. We could talk to you for hours about these different areas and what we do, but again, Pastor Kevin, man, what are you guys doing with that guy? No, I'm kidding. He's great. He's fantastic. But why? Why do we do these things? Why do we do what we do? Why do we engage in all this programming? Why do we put forth all this effort and bring people to serve with us? And we do it for stories of life change. What else matters? If we're not seeing lives changed through the gospel of Jesus Christ, why do it? All right, and so really quickly, I'll tell you a story of life change that has impacted my life significantly, but this is a picture of a little girl. Her name is Juanita, and Juanita was 6 years old when I met her for the very first time. She was enrolled in our Happy Tummies program in a village called Panyavar, and Juanita has some sisters. She had a mother, and she had a father. They lived in a very small house, smaller than this stage. For all of them, there were six of them at the time, because there are four siblings and two parents. Juanita came to Happy Tummies like every other kid, and 1 week, a medical clinic from Impacto Ministry was in Panyavar and set up for medical clinic, and Juanita came to the medical clinic and said, "My eye hurts." The doctor from North America, his name is Joe Lepre. He lives in New York, and we just affectionately call him Dr. Joe. We had the chance to surf with Dr. Joe just 2 weeks ago. Dr. Joe was there, and Dr. Joe said, "Let me look at your eye." Turns out Juanita has cancer. Juanita has tumors growing behind her eyes. You'll note I said eyes, plural. So Juanita was continued to be cared for in her Happy Tummies program, where she's receiving nutritious meals, she's receiving vitamins every day, she's receiving medical care at least once a month that doesn't cost her family anything. And that free medical care is what found the tumors growing behind her eyes. Now Juanita is just like any other kid, and she wants to come to Happy Tummies and play. She wants to come and create. She wants to come and eat. She wants to come and enjoy a good time. And so we allowed her to continue on, but at the same time, we were paying for her treatment and taking her a 4.5-hour drive away to the city to receive treatment for cancer. Juanita's life was changed by Happy Tummies. Now, I wish I could tell you that Juanita received all this treatment, she recovered, she was in remission, and everything is great, and this is a beautiful picture of her now at 16 years old 2 weeks ago. Only part of that is true. Juanita lost her eye. She lost her left eye. And you'll notice in this picture when she was younger that it's a little droopy on that side. And now Juanita wears sunglasses because she can no longer wear her prosthetic eye, because she still has tumors. And the tumors don't allow the eye to sit comfortably in the socket. She has cancer in the other eye still, and she's receiving treatment. But we continue to pray that no matter what Juanita's future is, she is resting in Jesus every single day. And she's there because a doctor that sat in a pew one time came, and because people that sat in a pew one time came and ministered to her, and because people that sat in a pew one time gave to help provide for her. And when she came to this clinic 2 weeks ago, we asked her if she was sick. We filled out a registration form just like we do the minute they come through the door. And Juanita said, "I'm not sick. I'm here to see her." And she came barreling right up through the line, right through the people getting glasses, right through the people waiting for meds at the pharmacy, and said, "Do you remember me?" And I looked at her and said, "Tell me your name again." She took off her glasses. And at the same time, we both said, "Juanita!" And she talked to me for 15 minutes. And she was patient with my ridiculous over 40 learning Spanish language. And she hugged me. And she said, "I came to see you." That's a story of life change. But it doesn't stop there. Life change doesn't just happen in Guatemala. It doesn't just happen with our Happy Tummies kids or our abuelitos. It happens with people who are sitting in pews just like you. And so one of my newest stories of change that I like to tell is standing right here. His name is John, and we met a long time ago in some weird circumstances. Turns out we kind of know each other's families. And we spent a few times here and there together running and doing a lot of crazy things. And John decided to come with us and serve with us. And so I think you'll find a story of life change sitting right in your own pew.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Rebecca and Eric. Good morning, Grace Point. I'm glad to be able to be here and share a little bit about my mission trip to Guatemala this summer and working with Row 12, a team put together by Row 12 to go down there. And Eric and Rebecca were great hosts and leaders coordinating our mission to work with Impacto Ministries, as they spoke about, in the mountains of Guatemala. And I can tell you from my experience that Row 12 and Impacto are having a huge impact down there in Guatemala, but also impacting the short-term missionaries like myself who travel down to Guatemala to serve. Earlier this year, as I told you about the plans for this trip, I also told you about how I came to the realization that God could use someone even like me. And through this trip, God has confirmed that, yes, he can use even me, but not only here in Grace Point and at home, but also in places like San Juan La Laguna, Guatemala. He has also shown me that he can still change even someone like me. Certainly, God changed me 10 years ago when I turned to Jesus as my Savior. And he changed me when he pulled me out of the deep pit of darkness, depression, and alcoholism I was in at that time. He changed me through Crossroads Church and then through Grace Point. He changed me through the messages week after week. He changed me through the music. He changed me through a Christian recovery group and through our men's small group. And through the music, listening out there as a congregation member and singing, and then later participating in the band. I shared my testimony right here a couple of years ago about how dramatically God changed my life from constant struggle to overwhelming peace. And if you'd like to hear or rehear that message, let me know and I can connect you to an audio recording of it. But God is in the business of changing lives, and I can tell you that he changed my life again through this mission trip to Guatemala. And if I had to state a purpose for this mission trip, it would be just that, changing lives, which is also certainly one of the purposes of Grace Point. And I would say the trip's purpose was changing lives on three levels. Changing lives there in Guatemala, changing my life as a growing follower and servant of Christ, then hopefully influencing some changing lives here at home. During the 8 days there in Guatemala, I certainly saw evidence of lives being changed there through a few different programs working with Row 12 and Impacto. So the Happy Tummies program that Eric and Rebecca spoke about for kids in several different villages down there that provides the after-school activities, Bible lessons, guidance and personal hygiene, routine doctor's visits, and nutritious meal, including vitamins each day for kids that might not always get a healthy meal. We were able to work with the Happy Tummies program in San Juan during a few of the afternoons where we provided the Bible lesson program and activities, and we spent time just playing with and showing love to these children. These kids live in such impoverished conditions, and it was so satisfying to be a part of sharing a meal and activities for them, and seeing the positive effects of this program on their physical, mental, and spiritual health. It was so much fun interacting and seeing them act just like kids do everywhere. You know, learning and playing, having fun, being mischievous, and just smiling and smiling. What a joy it was. We also did a kids program at a church in a village called San Lucia early in the trip, and we were able to have lunch and hold a program with kids in Santa Clara later in the week. And one evening, we held a family festival with games and activities and dinner for families in San Juan, where we were staying. Now, where the Happy Tummies programs are held in the afternoon, Impacto provided a program for the elderly they spoke about called Abuelitos. We provided some activities for and spent time with these elderly on a few of our mornings there. And these elderly typically live with younger family and otherwise would have little engagement during the daytime while family is away working or attending school. So we spent time with them. We had translators that would help us communicate, which was both satisfying and challenging, of course. But one of the most fun activities was building these walls of solo cups with the elderly folk there, and then giving them fly swatter, and we pitched balloons at them, and they were swatting the balloons over the walls to us. And I tell you, this one lady was swatting that thing back at me like a tennis slam, just swatting back at me. But they were having so much fun, just as much fun as the kids had in their program, I believe. One day of our trip, we spent in Santa Clara, where Row 12 is sponsoring the construction of a new church. It was great to see the progress in this church that I had heard about from Rebecca and Eric when they purchased the land for the church over a year ago, I believe. We were able to spend much of the day helping with the construction there. Some of the more handy men like Eric in our group did some real construction work while they handed me a shovel and said, hey, you're qualified to shovel dirt. So I shoveled and shoveled until I wore blisters on these poor guitar-playing hands. But I also carried cinder blocks around, so I really got my workout down there while I was there. It was really neat to see this and a little different mode of construction down there and seeing what it took to put this together. These programs and the churches being planted are life-changing for families in these communities. But there was so much more to this trip that not only served the people there, but also worked at changing my life and pulling me closer to God. First, I was able to share a major passion of mine, which you might could guess is music. Yes, I packed my guitar and was able to lead a couple of our songs in English at the end of their Spanish-speaking worship service on Sunday. Also being able to use the contributions of a bass player and a teenage drummer that were part of the mission team. That was fun. We also played some during the family festival we held. And one of the most special moments to me when I was able to sing a song to the elderly Abuelitos group during one of our mornings serving there. And even if they did not speak English, I do believe that they understood the word hallelujah within the rendition of gratitude that I played for them there. One of the members of this mission team came down to lead a recovery conference for pastors from this mountain region. A conference of over 20 pastors focusing on how their churches can help those recovering from alcoholism and other addictions, which are a huge problem in poor communities throughout the world, of course. I was able to share a piece of my own testimony with these pastors there, and I also heard some of their amazing testimonies of recovery through the saving grace of God. Another passion of mine intersected with this trip in a very unexpected way, Rebecca. Some of you know that I am an avid runner, and I actually first met Rebecca a few years back through a running ministry and group called Run for God. That's how we connected and started hearing stories about their work in the mission field. Well, all the times for this little village to hold, I believe, its first running race in a few years, a while it's been, happened to be the weekend that we arrived there. And Rebecca texted me on the way down there and said, did you pack running shoes? I said, of course, that's all I packed, running shoes. And so I was able to run a 10K there with a bunch of great Guatemalan people. And I will never forget the rain, and mountainous terrain of this little race with some great Guatemalan people. And I can remember struggling up on this uphill when this Guatemalan runner came up behind me and in a very strong accent was cheering on, saying, let's go, let's go! Great people down there. But I tell you, there was nothing, though, that changed me more than one single hour during the Monday of our service week. At some point on many of the days, we were able to split up into small groups to make home visits to families in these communities, delivering some food and staples to help that family and to listen and learn about these people. Monday was the first day of these home visits, and I was able to participate in two that day. The first visit to this house that was not much more than cinder block walls and a dirt floor started to make me really see how these people lived there. Then the second visit was with Rosario and Julieta here. Rosario is the grandmother to little Julieta, and Rosario's daughter and Julieta's mother died a couple years ago. So Rosario and her husband are raising Julieta. And to see this older couple trying to provide for Julieta in such hard conditions just really hit me. Intellectually, it did not surprise me. You know, we've all seen pictures such as these. We've heard stories of places such as this. My mind just was not surprised, but my heart was another matter. I was overwhelmed with feeling for these families there. So much so that evening I was extremely quiet, and I was afraid I would become emotional if I spoke that evening. I had to be in a place of just silence there, how it hit me. I've spent so much of my life not worrying about how others lived. And I can tell you that seeing this firsthand has changed me, changed my perspective, and changed how I see God working through missionaries and churches in places like this, and even how I see God's work back here at home. Through this trip, I've seen lives being changed in Guatemala. I'm seeing my life being changed by the experience, and I'm hoping to see lives being changed here at Grace Point. Kevin mentioned Matthew chapter 28, and within the verses he mentioned was the great mission verse in verse 28-19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There are many ways that you have been and can be involved in this continuing mission to make disciples of all the nations, where God can use you in the impact specifically on the people of San Juan, La Laguna, and surrounding areas, on the missionaries that serve, and on your own life and walk with God. One way you can have an impact is through your support. There are two principal ways that you can support the Guatemala mission. First, your prayer support for this mission is most important. Please pray for the people that are and can be reached by these ministries in Guatemala. Pray for the short-term missionaries that go on trips to serve down there and for the long-term missionaries who dedicate their lives full-time to the mission. Pray for the ministry organizations themselves, Row 12 and Impacto Ministries, and the programs they provide. And also pray for Grace Point, that we would gather a team to send down there next year, which I'll speak about just real quickly here in 1 minute. Ephesians 6:18 tells us, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Please, please pray. Second, your financial support is also so very important. Your financial support paid for me to go on this, my first mission trip and the first international mission of Grace Point Church. And we will need more financial support to send a Grace Point team next year. Also, long-term missionaries like Eric and Rebecca depend on financial support from churches and individuals in order to live and serve full-time on the ground in Guatemala. If you feel at all called to support the ongoing mission of Row 12 or to hear about their vision, then I'm sure Eric and Rebecca would be glad to speak with you or just connect with me later and I can connect to you, of course. Another way you can have an impact is through your participation. We're starting to plan for a Grace Point team trip next year, most likely in June or August. We'll finalize the details so there'll be plenty of time to fundraise and commit to it. The cost will be, I believe, around $2,500 and covers all airfare, travel, accommodations, meals, and we'll be working to raise money and to ask for support, of course, to defray that cost. But I would love to see individuals and couples among you join me on that trip next year. The final way you can have an impact is through sharing in the experience in three ways. One, seeing God's work changing lives. Two, knowing God can and does change lives. And three, asking God to change your life through participation, through the financial and prayer support of the mission next year, or through the financial and prayer support of the ongoing mission through Row 12. In closing, regarding the recent mission trip, was the purpose accomplished, the changing lives? I certainly believe so. I believe that lives in Guatemala were changed and continue to be changed through short-term mission trips like the one I went on and through long-term missionaries like Eric and Rebecca here. I know that my life was changed through my heart and through God drawing me closer. And I hope that other lives here will change as a result of this trip, a continuing connection with Row 12, and with support and participation in a Grace Point trip next year. It is my prayer that you do see changed lives, that you know God changes lives, and that you ask God to change your life for the first time or for the 50th time. There's that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from 17 through 20. Kevin mentioned the verse 18 about the ministry of peace. And verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. And it leads on through verse 18 and then ends up with, and he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. You see, when we were saved and reconciled to God, we were given the mission of sharing the message with others. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20, for those who want to read the full passage. Join the mission. Be ambassadors. Bring the message of reconciliation, good news, to the world. As always, Grace Point, I want to thank you for all of your prayers, your love, your encouragement, and your support. May God bless you in this church as a result. Thank you. Thank you.
So I'm just going to forgo, Joe, I don't need anything else up on the screen, okay? So I'll say this, you know, it's always been a heartbeat of mine to lead people to Jesus and to do that at home, in my neighborhood, and different parts of our country, and literally around the world. I've had the privilege of being on international mission trips, I think 4 times. Maybe 5, most down in Kenya, and one in Romania as well, and nothing more than a God-blessed event, really. It was just incredible. And I hear the work and the mission, the ministry that's going on here, and it's absolutely incredible. So we are going to pray about Grace Point's involvement in this. And I have no doubt in my mind that God's prepared hearts, and some of your hearts and minds are stirring already, and you know who you are. And if your heart isn't stirring yet, some of your hearts will stir to go. Libby doesn't know I'm going to say this, but we were talking about this yesterday and today, and she said she wanted to go. And I said, well, that's a done deal. So I don't like to speak for Libby, but I'm speaking for her. She's going. Libby is going next whenever you go. So anyhow. So some of others of you may be ready as well. And so what I'd like you to do, if you look in your bulletin and find that connect card, what I'd like you to do is let me know now. Let me know that a couple of things. You're going to pray for this regarding how our church needs to be involved. Let me know that you're considering going on this next trip sometime in the summer. Or let me know that you definitely want to go on this trip, okay? Let me know through that Connect card. And then make sure you put it in one of the white boxes as you leave today. And we'll be talking more about this throughout the year. I don't know at what time we have to make that commitment, but we're going to be involved, okay? All right, good enough? This is what God's called us to do, okay? And we want to get as many of you involved in it in as many ways as we can, not the least of which is going. And again, if you can't go, supporting those who do through prayer and through giving. All right?
Amen. You kind of, can you feel God's presence in this time. It's one of those days you don't want to leave, really. Just enjoy this moment. I will say two quick words tonight, 6 o'clock. Our lovely hosts over here, the Pickett family, will be hosting our youth once again. Jason, in a healthy church, in a healthy youth ministry, 10% of the church are teenagers. And I'm looking around here today. We got 73 folks here today, 72, 70. We got 9 teenagers here. So I'm looking out and saying, hey, those teenagers need to be in on that trip, right? You guys have youth go on the trips? There you go. So we'll be talking a little bit about that as well. So invite folks to come out tonight, 6 o'clock. Be there with us. Along with that, September 29th, baptism at the beach. I've already had 6 or 7 people talk to me about being a part of that baptism at the beach. You can write that on the card as well if you're thinking about participating and being a part of that baptism. All right? So is it a happy day? All right. Let's pray together as we go. Take that happiness and joy with you, Lord. Thank you for this time together as we celebrate the grace that changes lives here, all across this state, this country, and around the world. Lord, we love you and thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.